It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from the Fox News radio studios in New York City, fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show, 1-866-408-7669. We're coming to you from New York, heard around the country, heard around the world. Thanks so much for being here. There's a lot to discuss today. We know the President of the United States is going to be having a press briefing. He'll make remarks on National Security Initiative. We'll see what that's about, see if he'll take some questions. The Vice President, it's always interesting, will deliver remarks with Secretary Yellen about the new Treasury report on child care. He'll suddenly say, we need to give everybody free child care, free preschool, free school lunches, free community college. It sounds good. It's free for everyone except for everybody else that pays for it. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
We said yes to science. We said yes to vaccines. We said yes to ending this pandemic. We said yes to all those things that we hold dear as Californians, and I would argue as Americans.
There it goes. It looks like you're going to have to be stuck through a full term, at least, with Governor Gavin Newsom. In Sacramento, we officially won handily his recall vote. We'll see where he goes from here. I just was wondering why the Democrats were so nervous to bring in the president, the speaker, the vice president, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Barack Obama. Oh, I remember, because he's terrible at his job.
Number two.
Imagine if tomorrow General Milley decides, I think Joe Biden is senile. And so you know what? I'm not going to follow his orders. I'm going to collude with Russia and China to prevent us from acting. Or a future president. I don't think he's in his right mind either, because it is the essence, a military coup, for lack of a better term. That's what it would equate to.
That is Marco Rubio talking about the revelations in this brand new book that General Milley actually called China twice behind the president's back to say, don't worry about him. I got him under control. Not only did he preside over a military catastrophe in Afghanistan, but in the Woodward book, he seems to want to take over the country and show allegiance more to the Democrats and China than the president and his cabinet. I say he's got to speak up or pack up.
Number one.
Who made the decisions on this? Was it the president of the United States?
Ultimately, the president makes the decisions. That's correct.
Have you submitted your resignation regarding this issue?
I have not.
As a secretary, the execution of the U.S. withdrawal was clearly and fatally flawed. There has to be accountability.
I guess so. We'll see. Not yet. Secretary of State Blinken balks at stranded Americans, airlifting unknown Afghans, mistakenly droning a family of allies, falsely claiming the Afghan collapse was unknowable, and more as the Taliban demand we give them more aid money. Evidently, we're still giving them millions. We bring you the latest from the terror state of Afghanistan. Let's bring in Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, now retired, but chairman of the American Security at the American First Policy. And he was a former advisor to the Vice President of the United States. And I know the president always relished and cherished his opinions. General Kellogg, welcome back.
Brian, thanks for having me.
Sir,
good to be here.
Yeah, same here. So what about the revelations that General Milley called China twice to say we're not going to attack, and the second time to say if I was going to attack, you've known me for 5 years, I would give you notice, and meeting with an emergency fashion with other generals over in the Pentagon to say, here's the plan, should President Trump try to push the nuclear button. You were there. Was General Milley working against the president?
Yeah. You know, Brian, it's a great question. Look, I'm going to give you a big caveat. If what is in the Woodward book is true, then Mark Milley needs to resign or be removed from his position immediately. He's basically taken Article 2 of the Constitution under his own wing and did not do proper service to the President of the United States. His role as Chairman of the Joint Chiefs is to be the principal military advisor to the President of the United States and the National Security Council. That's it. He's got no forces under his control. He cannot give any command and control direction to combatant forces that are out there in the field. He was clearly in his in a political lane, in a lane he shouldn't have been in. And I've never seen any chairman do that before. I never saw Dunford do it. I never saw Hugh Shelton do it, Dick Myers do it, Colin Powell. None of them operated in that political lane like he did. And it's really kind of disturbing to me that he would do it. So I think he's also lost all of his capital out there. He's already alienated 50% of the nation out there, those that have been on the Trump side. My concern right now is the fact that I don't think that the president will remove him. He'll think it's okay. And I think what you're heading for is what we saw decades ago in that book, 7 Days in May, that they made into a movie where the chairman tried to remove a sitting president. And that's what you've got. I think he's lost all his credibility.
Well, I mean, he said, according to this book, they're very specific. General Lee, I want to assure you that the American government is stable and everything is going to be okay. We are not going to attack or conduct any kinetic operations. He goes on, we have known each other for 5 years. If we were going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. Really? What kind of strategy, what war college class is that in? It's not going to be a surprise.
Well, Brian, honestly, that's a clear violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. There's an article in UCMJ, it's 103B, that's aiding the enemy. And they're talking about specifically communications, talking to the enemy is a violation of that. So he's actually, if true, he's violated the Uniform Code of Military Justice alone, despite what others may say about more serious actions out there. So he's really truly overstepped his bounds. And I think he's, because of that, he's lost incredible credibility with everybody that's out there, and he moved into a lane he shouldn't have been in.
I know you're in the book, too, and I'm going to bring you to that in a second. But for just you, General, I mean, you go in general circles. You're the military, friends of friends of friends. These are the people that you've been with for decades. So did you see some of this? Is this something, did you see the disdain he had towards the president, especially after the church incident where he felt as though he made a big mistake and, in his words, was duped into walking over to the church in a uniform, and he apologized for it the next day? Could you sense his disdain for the president, distrust of the president?
What I started to pick up was he thought he was smarter than the president, he's the smartest guy in the room. And that, candidly, that's a thing I'm concerned about, because the implication there is on the 6th of January or days around that, that we had some issues with the president in the White House, and there was concerns. There was none there. I was in the Oval Office on the 6th of January. Kaylee was in the office. Mark Meadows was there. Pat Cipollone, the White House legal officer, was there. Chief of Operations for the White House was there. We were all in the office. We all talked to him. Was he mad a little bit? Sure, but everybody gets mad. You get mad, I get mad, presidents get mad. That happens. But we were operating with a lot of things going on in a very, very controlled environment. And we was fine with it. Brian, I was not concerned about the fate of the Republic on that day. I really wasn't.
Well, not only that day, I never thought the president would be profiled as somebody who was going to bomb China. In fact, the criticism on him was he wanted to get out of wars. And that ticked off a lot of conservatives.
You know, Brian, I will tell you, I gave him a nickname. He didn't like it when I said to him, I said, "Mr. President, you're a reluctant warrior." Well, he didn't like that. I said, "No, that's a compliment." I said, "As a former military guy, we want a commander-in-chief who's not going to pull the trigger automatically." And he wasn't that way. Brian, we did not start a major conflict in the 4 years he was in the office. There is no other president that can say that in recent times. And he did that. And yet, at the same time, he took very tough action when action was needed against Baghdadi, against Soleimani, against Assad gas. So, I mean, he was, when I say reluctant warrior, I say that with great admiration for him.
So I want you to hear what Jennifer Griffin said, just to balance out this story, because it is so serious.
Multiple Pentagon officials tell me the characterizations of the phone calls with the Chinese in the book are not accurate and were taken out of context. I spoke with a former senior Trump defense official who told me the phone call to the Chinese was done at the request of then Defense Secretary Mark Esper. It was a follow-up to a call placed by the Defense Secretary's policy officials designed to lower the temperature and prevent the U.S. and China from stumbling into a conflict. U.S. intelligence at the time suggested the Chinese were jumpy about all the noise coming out of Washington surrounding the election. The phone call was made at the request of the civilian leadership of the military. General Milley was asked to follow up. At no time did General Milley promise to give the Chinese a heads up if the U.S. planned to strike.
So that's the pushback in Pentagon speak. Do you feel better about it? I think he's still got to call a press conference. He can't just say, I'm not in the business of verifying books. I don't think that's going to be an option like he had last time.
Well, I think it actually goes worse than that, and I appreciate what Jennifer said. But there are only two national command authorities. It's the president and the secretary of defense. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs is not in that line. He should not be calling his counterpart or anybody else out there without informing the president of the United States on what he was doing. So they violated, even Esper violated that. The one who should have picked up the phone is Esper if he wanted to do it. And then he should have told the president, he should have actually asked the president beforehand and said this is what he was going to do. I mean, that just shows some, very candidly, Brian, some real incompetence on the part of Esper and Milley as well. And I know what Jennifer's saying, but that's Pentagon speak for double talk of trying to make something out of a really bad situation. And that's where they're at right now, a bad situation.
So General Kellogg, our guest, so here's the quote from you in the book. This is on January 6th from you.
Right.
You should really do a tweet. You're talking to the president. You need to get a tweet out real quick. Help control the crowd up there. This is out of control. They are not going to be able to control this. Sir, they're not prepared for it. Once a mob starts turning like that, you've lost it. And Trump said, yeah. And Trump blinked and kept watching television. What could you tell me about that, how the veracity of that statement?
Well, the statement is true. But what followed wasn't just what that's implied, that he just said, okay, I'm going to watch TV. Actually, Kaylee came in, I came in, Mark Meadows was there, and we came up with what we should do with the mob. And it was not, to me, honestly, Brian, it was not an insurrection. It was a mob that had turned out, it had gone out of control. And my experience with mobs, and when we do riot control, is once that happens, you've got a major problem because then you've lost the initiative, is to take some type of action that would get ourselves out there to the people that were on the streets out there and telling them to back off. So Kaylee came in, I came in, Mark Meadows came in. You had Pat Cipollone, the White House lawyer, came in. And instead, what we drafted a recommendation for him to do a video shot, and which he did. So the implication was he was disengaged and letting go. That's not true at all. We came in as advisors, gave him the advice, and he took the advice going forward. What was said, it was only partially true, and because we were all offering advice. And I think he took the advice. So that's the reason I say all along I felt very comfortable with what was going on. Was it a bad situation? Sure it was. But nobody was running around there in a panic mode. It was very disciplined, very organized, very controlled, and I thought we were giving them good advice.
So did you cooperate with the book?
Well, I was asked when Bob Woodward, I talked to Bob Woodward on it. Yeah, he called me. I didn't say a lot of stuff, but I said, yeah, I did it because I wanted to defend what we were doing because there was too much information going out there, Brian, about what was happening that was not true. And I just told him that. Brian, you know, I told Bob, and I've known Bob for almost 6 years now, that no, that's not what was happening. You're making it sound like the place was out of control. It was not out of control. In fact, it was in control. The president was under control. We were under control. We knew something bad was happening up there. It was a riot, and we wanted to get ahead of it.
Okay. So, in other words, if you are happy with the way you're quoted, should we take that as something, the veracity of the book all through and through? I mean,
no. Oh. I never trust. Honestly, you asked me a direct question, Brian. I never trust anybody writing the book fully out there. But one thing you have to say about Bob Woodward, he always has multiple sources to say what was going on. And so I think he generally gets into the 80 or 90% of what's happening out there. That's the reason I have a major concern for the earlier comment. But I'm not going to run from any comments or what I said in the Oval. There's some stuff I wouldn't tell him. I wouldn't tell anybody about what happened with me and the president talking because it's just not proper. But what I'm trying to tell you and your audience out there is that things were under control in the West Wing of the White House. We knew what was going on for the most part, and we were trying to get a handle on it.
So, General, were you ever concerned, being that you knew the president now for at least his whole term, were you ever concerned for his sanity? Was he losing it for a while after the election?
Absolutely, Brian, absolutely not. I mean, anybody who makes comments, those are moronic comments from people I've heard. In fact, I almost I'm tempted to call them imbecilic comments. No, not at all. I've been with him through some really, really tough situations and some really, really crisis actions that were going on out there. And I never at all. He was always in control. I mean, would he get his back up a couple times? Sure, but so would I, and so would you. So would anybody out there. I didn't have a problem with that. And we'd work through it. But, oh, no, I was never uncomfortable being around him. He was a great commander-in-chief. He knew what he wanted to do. and he had assembled a really tight team around him there at the end, and I was very confident about it. I was never not confident that he was making the bad decision. He always made really solid and hard decisions. Were they tough? Yeah. I've got no problem with them at all.
Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, thanks for straightening out the record. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
You got it. 1-866-408-7669. I'll come back with your calls. We just covered a lot of ground there. Then Ben Domenech will put this all in perspective and talk about everything going on in the world right now. Don't move. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Giving you everything you need to know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.